God is a good God. Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful day today. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. I don't know. I woke up bright and cheery, which is not, I shouldn't say it's not normal for me, but I'm not really a morning person, all right? My sister's a morning person. I'm a night owl, all right? So I earned it. Me and my mom were kind of made up the same. We usually don't sleep much, although the older or the more mature I'm getting, the more I'm enjoying my sleep. I guess, you know, going back to your second childhood, whenever, well, I guess when you're a kid, for first, you know, you wake up early, watch cartoons, you turn into a teenager, and you just want to sleep, all right? Then you, I don't know, but praise God. I'm bright and cheery and happy, joyful, and it's Communion Sunday. You know, amen. It's an awesome, awesome time. If you have your Bibles or your devices, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 5. And the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, today as we gather around the Lord's table, I want to take us back not just 2,000 years ago to Calvary, but to the very heart of our faith. Paul said this here in Corinthians, "For I am determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's my title of my message this morning, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why we're here. It's all about Jesus and all about what he did on Calvary. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to read my notes here. All right. In other words, Paul wasn't interested in impressing people with eloquent speech or human wisdom, but he was focused in on Jesus. You know, this morning we should be focused in on Jesus. He was focused in not only Jesus, but on the cross. You know, and so today, so are we. We should focus our attention to Jesus and to the cross and to what Jesus did there on Calvary. You know, the cross is the center of it all. The cross is not just a part of our message, it is the message. It's without the cross, we have nothing. You know, it's not just a symbol, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's not just history, it's our present reality. It's all because of Jesus. You know, you see, when Jesus hung on that cross, he wasn't just dying, he was paying. He was paying for my sin, for your sin, and the sin of the world. You know, that cross was a life-changing moment. In fact, that day on Calvary was the biggest life-changing moment that's ever happened on the face of this earth, because Jesus changes everything. I mean, he died on the cross for you and I. I mean, you know, obviously we see that it's something that he knew he was going to do, but he didn't want to. As a mere man, I mean, you know, he prayed, and basically in 21st century language, he was like, "God, if there's any other way, let's do it that way." But there was no other way. It was the cross. It was that he had to pay for you and I. And so that moment 2,000 years ago was a life-changing moment in each and every one of our lives. Even though we weren't here yet, it changed our life. It changed our destiny. It changed our future. And it's still changing our life, changing our destiny, and changing our future. I mean, think about what kind of advantage that we have because we know Jesus is on the inside. And, you know, I think about, you know, life sometimes, and think about, what if I didn't know what I know? You know, I was obviously very fortunate to grow up in a home that, you know, all I know is faith. All I know is the Bible. All I know is what the Word says. You know, I've been taught that, I mean, all my life. And I thank God for that. You know, I know what God's Word says. I know what to do whenever I don't know what to do. I mean, so think about that. And if it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't know what to do. We would be hopeless. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, we come to a service like this and Communion Sunday, well, it's just another communion. No, it's another opportunity to think about what Jesus did for us, to think about that life-changing moment, that moment that changed the world. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, that moment changed the world, and the next moment that's going to change the world is when he comes back home to take us home. You know, I know some of you are ready to have that happen. In fact, I saw on Instagram yesterday that an individual says he thinks it's going to happen this year. Well, if it's going to happen this year, we better get busy getting people saved. There's a lot of people that doesn't know Jesus and him crucified. They don't know that Jesus changes everything. They don't know the Jesus that I know. You know, yeah, I mean, obviously, we would all like to go to heaven someday, but you know what? I love people too much to go to heaven today or tomorrow. You know, I mean, you know, the deal is if you want to go to heaven tomorrow, you better start a YouTube channel and be, you know, put some cat videos, get real popular, and then preach the word, you know, whatever. Or just put our Winter Bible Seminar videos from a number of years ago and people will get a million people watch them. Then people remind me of, you know, the deal is those are great times and that's awesome. You know, but praise God, you know, that God is moving today. Hopefully, you know, if you weren't here at camp meeting on Friday night, you need to watch the video and see, you know, and God's moving among the young people. And that's what the word of God says in the last days that sons and daughters shall prophesy. It talks about young people. And, you know, actually all week long, I don't know how many things that I saw this week where it talked about how much young people are turning to God, turning to church. We're talking about denominational stuff. We're not just talking about, you know, here at Rhema Bible Church. We're talking about overall the young people of today, whatever the generation is now, I guess Generation Z, Generation and Alpha actually is the next generation. They're turning to the things of God. They want to see God move. And it's pretty, you know, awesome. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, things like revival breaking out at Ohio State University. You know, that's the other OSU, you know, not the real OSU, but anyway. I can say that in Oklahoma, everywhere else in the nation, if I say that, if you say OSU, everyone thinks, oh, Ohio State. You know, in fact, just to tell a funny it was on Rich, not on me. Me and the singers and band, we were preaching in Columbus, Ohio. And so we were right there by the college campus and we're eating at a Chili's. And our waitress, you know, coming, singing Rich King, obviously all you know Rich. I mean, he's a music minister for here. He traveled with me for a long time, one of my best friends. And he likes to talk to waitresses. In fact, I think he even asked the lady to pray for our food. He does that sometimes. He goes, hey, did you go to OSU? She goes, yeah. And he points to me, he goes, he went to OSU too. I'm like, it's a different OSU. But anyway. But back to Jesus. Jesus changes everything, and he did change everything on the cross. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, like I said, he wasn't just dying, he was paying. He was paying for my sin, for your sin, and the sins of the world. You know, Paul could have talked about miracles, prophecy, spiritual gifts, but he narrowed it all down to one thing, the most important thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, if you can preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and it's not just a message, you know, your mom tells you the actions speak louder than words. Well, that morning or that day was actions. Jesus showed forth his love toward us by dying on that cross, by being crucified. You know, Galatians 6:14 says this, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Without the cross, there is no gospel. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without his death, there is no resurrection. You know, obviously Jesus had to rise again, but if he never died, he would have never rose again. You know, he didn't deserve to die, but he did it for you and I. I mean, he was without sin, but he died for us. You know, the purpose of the cross, why the cross? Why did Jesus have to die that way? Because sin had a price, and the price wasn't gold or silver. The price was the blood of Jesus. You know, I don't know about you and I, you know, but I read the Old Testament and I'm thinking, man, I'm glad that I wasn't alive during that time. You know, you realize that, I mean, the temple had to be like a slaughterhouse. I mean, you know, they're slaughtering goats and rams. And my favorite is the wave offering, though. I like the wave offering. I do the wave offering sometimes, too. You know, like the double wave offering. I know, it's a joke, okay. It's my joke. It's a dad joke. All right. But, I mean, you know, I'd rather have wave offerings than slaughtering goats and rams and things like that. But, I mean, you know, the thing about it is that Jesus became the ultimate lamb, our sacrifice, so that we are without sin. You know, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 tells us what's about 700 years before Jesus died on the cross. Now, that's the thing about it is, you know, a lot of times we hear prophecy and we expect them to happen in a few years. Well, I mean, there's a lot of prophecy that takes a long time. I mean, like I said, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, this is before Jesus came to the earth. It says this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Not we're going to be healed, we were healed. Isaiah told us that basically 2,700 years ago that we were healed. And 2,000 years ago, the action happened that healed us. And we have been healed by faith. We need to understand that we've been healed. But at the cross, Jesus traded places with us. He became sin so we could become righteous. He took our sickness so we could walk in healing. He was rejected so we would be accepted. He died so we could live. We can live today because of Jesus, because what he did for us on that day. And today as we prepare to receive communion, we do so with a fresh awareness of what the cross accomplished. If it wasn't for the cross, there would be no heaven. Do you realize that? There would be no heaven. Basically we would live on this earth for however many years and it'd be all over. I guess, you know, you could say all over but the shouting. But praise God that we do have eternity because of the cross. That cross was a life-changing moment. It changed, you know, it changed our life. And so every time we take forth communion, we should think about our life was changed because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Jesus changed the world with his death, burial, and resurrection. It's, you know, his blood was shed for you. In Matthew 26, 28, Jesus said this, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The blood of Jesus wasn't just spilled, it was shed intentionally. It was poured out for you and for me. You know, when Jesus took those stripes on his back and you know, we've seen the different movies they've made about Jesus, and obviously, you know, some of the movies, because of the crucifixion scene, they had to get a higher rating or whatever. But there has been no crucifixion scene that has really described how gory and how gross it was and how much he bled. But that precious blood of Jesus was an awesome sight. It was the one final slaughterhouse at the temple. Jesus died so that we could live. Because Jesus changes everything. He changes our life. I mean, you know, he did it for you and did it for I. It's the ultimate love that he would lay down his life for yet sinners. I mean, think about this as he's hanging on the cross and people are making fun of him and doing all that kind of stuff. He said, Father, forgive them for they don't even know what they're doing. That was ultimately, I mean, he died for those that hated him. He died for those that despised him. Because in spite of your thought toward him, he loved you and he still loves you. You know, sometimes I joke about this. You know, when we're children, when children's church, we sing that Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. You know, we all sung it in children's church. But then we grow up and we forget that Jesus still loves us. Jesus loves us in spite of our, you know, ignorance, in spite of our fallacies, in spite of in our stupidity. Jesus still loves us. Even when your husband, your wife, your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, you know, gets mad at you, Jesus loves us no matter what we do. He still loves us. You know, he always loves us. I mean, his love is unconditional. And he proved that 2,000 years ago. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, they say, and the proof is right here on the table. I mean, that's how much Jesus loved us. You know, I mean, you know, obviously I thank God for men and women that volunteer to go out and serve this country, knowing that they might die serving this country so that we could be free. But that was the ultimate freedom when Jesus died on the cross, so that the whole world could be free. They could be free. Now, the whole world isn't free because they don't know about Jesus. That's why, you know, it's our responsibility to go out and tell the world about Jesus. Sometimes people think, well, we live in Tulsa, Jerusalem. Everybody knows about Jesus. Everyone doesn't know about Jesus in this community. And you know what? Some people know about Jesus and they know about Jesus the Savior, but they don't know anything else about Jesus. They don't know that Jesus still loves them, even in spite of whatever they've done. You know, Jesus, I mean Tulsa is full of people that used to call themselves Christians, but for whatever reason, the world happened. Whatever reason, you know, things happen, they got mad at God or whatever, and really, they need people like us to be a light to them. You know, and the deal is when people show up that look like they don't belong in church, maybe they don't look the part or whatever, those are the ones you should love the most. You know, because honestly, in the city that we live in, any joker can start a church and someone's going to show up. Because we have transplanted Christians that transplant to church after church after church. You know, and that's great. But we need to go after people who are not going to church anywhere. People who are down and out. People, I mean, there's a lot of people that live in this city that used to come to church on a regular basis. There's some people that used to come to church on a regular basis, you know, before COVID. And since COVID, life happened, you know, and things changed. I've talked to some people who have came back, you know, like a year and a half later. And here's what they said. Said, Brother Craig, I used to be at church all the time. You know, I was always there. You'd always see me, you know, whatever. And then, you know, COVID happened, and I mean, I watched every service. But as time went on, I quit watching. And this person, for, you know, because they had some comorbidities, they chose not to come back to church whenever we reopened. And it says, you know, before long, he says, when COVID first happened, I know I watched your church. I watched other churches, you know, because I'm online. I have nothing else to do. But then I gradually quit watching church. I didn't come back. I didn't mean to. You know what they told me? Their life fell apart. But thank God they remembered, you know, what to do, and they came back to church. But there's so many people that are out there, they're falling through the cracks, and no one seems to care because we're too busy trying to do our own life. You know, you realize we could double this church tomorrow or next Sunday if we invited one person. And then, you know, just inviting the church is one thing, but you know, just to talk to them about the love of Jesus. You know, a lot of us, we don't want to be offensive, or we don't do this. We don't want. There's people hurting in this world. You know, this world is life isn't always easy. And you know, if you don't know the Jesus that we know, then life is definitely not easy. If you don't know Jesus Christ and him crucified, then you're in trouble. But even if you do know Jesus Christ, if you don't know that he came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. A lot of people, you know, the Bible says to forget not the benefits. You know, a number of credit cards have a lot of benefits for having a credit card. American Express was probably the first one, and they would give you benefits. And then if you rented a car with American Express, that they would actually, you know, cover your insurance. Well, if you have insurance, they would pay the deductible. I know, because one day in Atlanta, it was David Kramer's fault. No, I'm just kidding. Don's laughing at me, but I ended up totaling a rental car. And so, because I had insurance, the insurance paid, and American Express, they paid the deductible. So, you know, we weren't out any money or whatever. And there's all other benefits. In fact, if you bought things on American Express, and, you know, even though they're out of warranty, you can actually claim up to like $400 a year and get refunds, all kinds of things. There was all kinds of benefits that most people never knew about, so they never took advantage of. But that's the same way in the Bible. There's a lot of benefits, and, you know, thank God, because of the word teaching at this church, most of you know about the benefits, but there's a whole world out there that don't know about the benefits of being a Christian. They don't know about, you know, Jesus' life-changing thing. You know, Jesus didn't just give you a boarding ticket to heaven. He changed your life. And it was all because of Calvary. You know, we need to go out to a lost and dying and hurting world. You know, the motto of this church is we're bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. But if we're not really bringing hope, help, and healing to the world, what are we doing? Because it's not the church that brings hope, help, and healing. As far as, you know, well, I'm waiting for Raymond Bible Church to have an activity. Well, you know what? You come and get fired up and you have your own activity. I mean, why do you have to wait for somebody to organize an outreach for you? Especially you guys that feel you're called to the ministry, you know, and you've been waiting for someone to invite you to preach somewhere. There's a lot of street corners that you know, there's a lot of homeless people here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if you know Spanish, it's probably even a bigger benefit. You know, if you know hablo español, then you might be in trouble in certain areas of the city. But I mean, if you know Spanish, there's places that you could go preach and, you know, we also live in Tulsa. Most of the time, the people will leave you alone. They won't. It's not like California, where I watched a guy almost get in a fight because he was a street preacher. Of course, some of the things he's saying was fallacy anyway, but that's a whole other subject. It wasn't fallacy. He wasn't preaching love. You know, the deal is, it's all about love. It's not about, you know, that Jesus hates this and Jesus hates that and Jesus. No, Jesus loves the world. I mean, he loved the world so much he died for the world. You know, it doesn't say, you know, people kind of, you know, they think that he died for Christians. The Bible doesn't say that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came for the sinner, not for the church. He didn't come for the church. And the deal is that there is no condemnation. I mean, you know, if people are in sin, they know they're in sin. You know, Jesus doesn't come to condemn them. They're condemning themselves. You know, they don't need you to pile on. You know, it's no fun to get piled on. I mean, you know, I played a little football, and most of the time I played defense, but I was a wide receiver. Sometimes I was a wide receiver for quite a while. You have to understand, people look at me now and say, oh, Craig, you played the line. No, I didn't play the line. I was a defensive back. All right. I was skinny, you know, until the Lord changed that. I'm just kidding. I mean, I think when I graduated from high school, I was like 185 pounds or whatever, you know. So, you know, I might have been 200, you know. So I was a wide receiver, second string running back, third string quarterback. The reason I'm third string quarterback, because my arm wasn't really that good. I mean, the coach said, Craig, you make the best handoffs, you make the best pitches, but you cannot throw the ball worth anything. So third string quarterback, you know. I did get some playing time because sometimes we stunk. Anyway, but that's a whole other thing. But you know, when you get piled, it's one thing whenever you get hit by one guy, then people start piling on. It's no fun when you have seven guys on top of you. But that's what we kind of do sometimes as the sinners. We pile on. They know that they're in sin. That's, you know, but they're a sinner. So why not be in sin? Once again, you know, the blood was shed for you and I. Jesus said in Matthew 26, 28, once again, this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. The blood of Jesus wasn't just spilled, it was shed intentionally. It poured out for you and for me. And that blood still speaks today. It speaks of mercy. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of a covenant that Jesus had with us. Revelation 12:11 says this, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If you want to overcome sin, plead the blood. If you want to overcome guilt, plead the blood. If you want to overcome sickness, fear, and condemnation, plead the blood. The blood has not lost its power. There is power in the blood. The blood of Jesus. It was the blood that changed us. There is no remission without the blood of Jesus. You know, that was the whole thing. That was sacrifice. Jesus was sacrificed for you and I. He was laid on the altar so we wouldn't be laid on the altar. You know, we can see that, you know, back when Abraham, you know, who was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, you know, and they were headed to the altar, and Isaac was asking, you know, where's the ram? And Abraham said, well, our God will supply. Knowing that he was willing to sacrifice his son, but he didn't have to. But Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. The way God did supply was he gave us Jesus. Jesus' whole mission to come to this earth. First of all, he came to the earth to bring forth hope, help, and healing to the world. I mean, you know, he shared the love to everybody. He was moved with compassion. He loved people. He did what, you know, it said he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what he did. But ultimately, 2,000 years ago, whenever he took the stripes on his back and he said it is finished, he was saying that sickness and disease is finished. Sickness and disease is finished. By his stripes, we were healed. Everything happened on Calvary. Jesus changed our life because Jesus changes everything. His body was broken for you and I. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11:24. He says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus' body was broken so you could be made whole. Think about this. Every time that whip hit him, 39 times. And it wasn't just a normal whipping. I mean, there were shards of glass and all kinds of things. And every time that whip hit him, it was for your healing. It was for your healing. It was for your healing. And he began to shed that blood. Every nail that went into his body was for you. Every thorn placed in his forehead was for you and I. Every bruise that he took on his body was for you and I. Everything that he went, I mean, you know, you realize he was a mere man. He felt pain just like you feel pain. I mean, he sacrificed his body so that we could be healed. So that we could be healed. He did it for us. You know, and it really bothers me sometimes when I hear people say, well, I don't know if it's God's will to heal today. And I'm like, are you an idiot? Do you read the Bible? Well, I don't know, you know. I mean, you know, it might be God's will. And, you know, and maybe I'm one of these people that needs to suffer for Jesus. And like I always say, the only time I ever suffer for Jesus is on a beach somewhere. Now, there are a few times because maybe Craig did not put some of that sunscreen on that after I go to the beach, I do suffer for Jesus a little bit. you know, but that's because of my stupidity, not because Jesus wanted me to suffer. He provided sunscreen. Well, he didn't provide sunscreen. Walmart provides the sunscreen or wherever you might. Well, buy it at Walmart, because if you buy it at the hotel, it's going to cost you like three times as much. So anyway, you know, that's a Walmart tip. I really do go to Walmart a lot. I just want to let you guys know. People don't, you know, I went to Virginia the other day after I went to there, and you know, I got there, I ate dinner, and you know what my first stop was? Walmart. Yeah, man, they have nicer clothes at that Virginia Walmart than we have too. It was, you know, I got me a Virginia T-shirt too from Cavaliers or whatever. So, and I got some toothpaste and some deodorant. That was another thing because I used it all when I was in Nigeria. Anyway, but you don't need to know that. Anyway, you don't have to suffer for Jesus. He suffered for you. Isaiah said this way, by his stripes, we are healed. All those things. I mean, you know, can you imagine? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can't. We can think that we can imagine what Jesus went through that day, but none of us could really imagine. You know, and the thing about it is, I don't know, you know, really, you know, Jesus was, he was a human being just like we were. And, you know, just a few days earlier, when he rode in on a donkey, people were saying Hosanna to the highest and all these kind of things. You know, Jesus probably saw some of those people, and then he's hanging on the cross, and they're making fun of him. And a few days earlier, they were praising him. I mean, that's got to really hurt. You think about ultimate backstabbing, that's worse than someone writing something mean about you on Facebook. You know, so, and people write something mean about you, who cares? You guys realize we're not in high school anymore? I think because you have Facebook, sometimes you think you're in high school or whatever, but we're not in high school anymore. It's not that big a deal. And some people don't like you. I mean, people even hate me. I don't know why. I mean, who could hate me? But anyway, but some people don't. And that's okay. You know, I'm not here for people to like me. I'm here to bring forth Jesus Christ to the world. You know, and because you bring forth Jesus, some people won't like you. Some people are mad because whatever happened to them at church, you know, maybe they had a bad church experience. And that's why sometimes, you know, one of the worst things, because I obviously travel a lot, you know, and because I travel a lot, I've got my hair cut in many different places, sometimes some really bad haircuts. But I don't like it when people actually ask me right off the bat, what do I do? Because, you know, I don't want to lie. I'm a motivational speaker, you know. So, you know. But, you know, I like it whenever to be able to get to know this person before. I mean, great example was I was in Denver, Colorado, Floyd's 99 Barbershop, downtown Denver, on a Friday about 11 o'clock. Walked in, needed a haircut. They gave me this lady that had multiple colors of hair. You know, we could all, if we looked at the person, I look at the person, this is Denver, Colorado, but a little more liberal, and this person, you know, more just by looking at them, you would think, well, they probably don't go to church. And I also thought, man, if I needed my hair color, this would be a good person, because, I mean, their hair was like five different shades of who knows what. And we began to talk. And thank God, the first thing she asked me, because, have you started drinking today? And I said, no, didn't lie. I haven't started drinking. Well, I had some water, but you know that was. She wasn't referring to that for an alcohol. And I began to talk with her, and she liked my personality, you know, because I'm funny, and I'm nice, and you know. So then she popped the question, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a minister of the gospel." And she started laughing because she thought I was joking, because I was joking the whole time. And I said, well, you know, I have an accounting degree, but I don't do accounting. I am a preacher. Do you know Jesus? That was the next thing out of my mouth. See, here's the thing. Because she liked me, it was easier to ask that question. You know what she told me? She goes, I grew up in church. Yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I'm saved, but I don't go to church anymore. I said, well, you know, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but it's a whole lot better to go to church. And so she began to tell me about, you know, her church was all about rules and all about this and, you know, all these, you know, strict things. And because, you know, basically, you know, she, for whatever reason, she felt that it was all about condemnation. It wasn't about love. You know, and I just began to preach to her. You know, and the thing about it, she says, I wish your church was in Denver because I would go to your church because you're different. Because, see, I'm just here to bring Jesus Christ and Him crucified to a lost and dying and hurting world. I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how much money you do have or don't have. I mean, you know, I don't care if you even don't speak good English. I'll do my best to do charades for you. You know, Jesus died across, you know, whatever, you know, it's a, you know, I'm just here to bring the world Jesus. And that's what we should all be doing. That's what Paul did. It's not about what you know. It's not about how much you know. It's not about, you know, how much you prepared and you know, how good your sermon is. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because you know what? You don't change the world. Jesus does. Your opinion doesn't change the world. You know, some of your opinions might be good and some of them might stink. But they don't change the world. But Jesus changed the world, and Jesus is still changing everything about your life. If you bring people to Jesus, it's life-changing. 2,000 years ago, my life changed. 2,000 years ago, your life changed. The Bible said, once again, by His stripes, we are healed. That means physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing. You know, a lot of people, they maybe they don't need physical healing, but they need emotional healing. You know, we live in a society where so many people have emotional issues, but Jesus died for our emotional issues as well. And so a lot of times we don't even know that. We don't realize that Jesus died to heal us emotionally, spiritually, in every way. Mentally, physically, financially, whatever. He died for all of those things. He died so that we could live. You know, communion is not just remembering, it's receiving. We're not just taking a ritual, we're receiving a revelation that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all 2,000 years ago. You know, the Bible also talks about examine yourself. You know, Paul didn't say examine your neighbor. He said examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says this, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We don't come to this table in fear. We come in faith. We don't come in condemnation. We come in confidence. You know, it's because of the blood you're forgiven. It's because of His body you're healed. It's because of the cross you're made righteousness. It's all because of Jesus. You know, we examine ourselves. We think about, you know, this should be a day that we should examine ourselves. You know what? How can we be a better Christian to go out and bring Jesus Christ and Him crucified to a lost and dying and hurting world? And, you know, and I don't, sometimes we also need to learn tact. All right, first of all, making fun of somebody or putting them down is not the good way to lead someone to salvation. You know, Paul talks about that sometimes we plant, sometimes we water, and sometimes we get the increase. Sometimes, you know, the Bible text says that Jesus, first of all, went around doing good. The first thing you can do is just be a nice person. Be a good person. Show forth love to the world. You know, there might be people that you work with that even sometimes they kind of make fun of your Christianity, but I guarantee you when the chips are down and they don't know what to do, they're calling you first. Because they know you know what to do. Well, hopefully, unless you act like you don't know what to do. That's the thing. Sometimes we act like we don't know anything. I mean, you know, if you're at work on a Monday morning, you just went to church Sunday. I mean, you should be all fired up. You don't need a cheerleader. Let's get fired up And you say, well, they didn't sing my favorite song so I can run around the church. You know, we don't run around the church every Sunday. This is not a run around the church Sunday. This is a thank God that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross Sunday. because it changed my life and it changes your life and it'll change somebody else's life if you tell them. It's a life-changing moment. It's a monumental moment in time. I mean, I don't know, I was just thinking about it. I mean, sometimes you just don't even think about how that one moment utterly, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that one moment utterly changed the world. It's a world-changing moment that we get to experience every day. You know, we do have communion the first Sunday of every month, and, you know, Christmas Eve and some other special times or whatever. But you know what? We shouldn't just think about Jesus Christ and Him crucified on Communion Sunday or Easter Sunday or you know, Christmas Eve. We should think about Jesus Christ and Him crucified every day. When we wake up and we say, you know, our habit, "This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it." We should say, "Thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. Thank you for willing to sacrifice your life for ours, because our life was changed 2,000 years ago." So before we partake, let's pause, let's reflect, let's surrender afresh. Church, as you leave this service today, leave in the power of the cross. Remember what was done for you. Walk in the freedom of healing and authority that Jesus paid for. Because of the cross, you are free. Because of the cross, you are whole. Because of the cross, you are His. Your life was changed because of the cross. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the message today, because that day and this day, Jesus changes everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching online. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that Jesus was willing to sacrifice His life so that we could live anew, so that we could go to heaven, so that we could experience healing in our body, so we can experience all kinds of wonderful things through Jesus. But Father God, we thank you today as we get ready to partake of this communion to remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We thank you, Father, if there be anybody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't pass up this opportunity to make Him Lord and Savior of their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, "Craig, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I've never accepted Him as my Lord and Savior." You can this morning lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you don't leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're like what my grandfather talked about. He says, you know, you can come to church all your life and not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just like you can live in a garage all your life and not become a car. Maybe you don't know whether you've been saved or not. And he talked about, you know, you can have what we call a know-so experience. If you don't know today, you can know. If that's you, say, "Craig, I don't know if I've ever accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to know today." Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here today and you don't know whether you're saved, we want to make sure you know today. Or maybe on the third invitation, maybe here today, and you say, "Craig, I know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but man, you know, my life has not been going like it needs to go, and I really haven't been living life God's way. I've been living life my own way. And today I want to publicly rededicate my life to God." If that's you, if you want to publicly rededicate your life to God, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you refresh that again, that you come back in fellowship. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now that if happened to be somebody that's here in this room that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, right now that you're bringing people across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, for their salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.